Let's pick it up again and read very quickly over the last part of this chapter and then let you see what the Bible says it really means. Here's the woman bedecked in scarlet with gold and precious stones and pearls, verse 4. And upon her forehead was a name written, verse 5, Revelation 17. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And in verse 6, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Here is a religious organization that in the past has persecuted and even martyred and put to death the true saints of Almighty God. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, John is seeing this in vision, as if it is a technicolor dream. I wondered with great wonder or awe or admiration. And the angel said unto me, Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. Now, instead of us arbitrarily deciding, we know what is the meaning of this beast with seven heads and ten horns and this great madam that seems to ride on this beast in this weird dream or vision of John. Why not just read on and see what the Bible says? The angel said, I'm going to tell you, John, what is the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the abyss. Now, in the 13th chapter, the first beast we can identify there has the four constituent parts of the fourth beast of Daniel's 7th chapter. If you lost me on that, back in the book of Daniel, and Daniel and Revelation go together in perfect harmony, were four great creatures which are identified in the Bible commentaries as the symbol of the four successive world-ruling empires, beginning with ancient Babylon, and therefore are almost synonymous with the constituent parts of the great image that was set up in the plain of Babylon, the head of gold on down to the feet of iron and clay that you see in Daniel's 2nd chapter. Now that image, as all of the Bible helps and books will tell you, the commentaries, Bullinger's Companion Bible, so many others, was symbolic of those same successive four world-ruling empires of the ancient world. The ancient Babylonian Empire, of which this is typical, and we want to comment on that later on, the Persian Empire, then the Greco-Macedonian Empire under Alexander that was divided up into four parts after he was dead and before his body was even interred, and finally, that grew out of that, the Roman Empire with many successive resurrections, including a weak latter-day resurrection that took place beginning in about 1936 to about 1945, believe it or not. Because what Hitler and Mussolini put together, the Axis powers of World War II, was actually called by the Italian government the Holy Roman Empire. Now the language here, the beast, and that was ancient imperial Rome. Through all of its resurrections, it fell in 476, it was reestablished in 554 by Belisarius, it has had several resurrections from that time to this. Notice the biblical language, the beast that you saw, and that is ancient Rome, was and is not and shall ascend out of the pit and go into perdition. Now perdition is a word that means ultimate destruction, but it is also a word that has to do with a sequence or a time sequence of events in biblical prophecy. It is talking about that ultimate destruction that Christ himself is going to wreak upon the earth when he comes. So this is a kingdom that will be extant right down until the time of the second coming of Christ, and we'll see that again in just a moment. Now he said, those that dwell on the earth will wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, it was down through many, many centuries, and is not, does not yet appear to be even now, today, and yet is. That is, the elements are present for the resurrection of yet a modern-day Roman Empire. And if you know where to look, meaning inside Germany, in increasing anti-Americanism, the increasing desire, which you will see come to a head very shortly in the next few years now, for a strong Führer, a leader, a dictator to take over and to solve the deep economic and sociological problems even now beginning to descend on West Germany. Helmut Schmidt's government is in trouble, by the way. I have said for the last 27 years that Germany is going to be reunited, that it is going to be the head of a 10-nation combine in Central Europe, that it is going to be one of the great enemies of the United States in the latter days in which we live, and those days are shaping up right now. And the deployment of the neutron bomb, the Reagan policies of apparently attempting to close the so-called window of vulnerability to the Soviet nuclear threat, but using Europe as the deployment area and the Europeans looking upon themselves as the primary battleground in the event of a World War III with nuclear weapons, all of this is going to lead toward deepening sociological divisions between the Western European governments and that of the United States. We're going to see NATO collapse. We're going to see Americans pulled out of Germany. We're going to see the creation of a gigantic German army, and we're going to see the reunification of Germany. You mark my words. Now, he goes on to say in verse 9, here's the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Let's skip ahead to verse 18 quickly in the end of the 17th chapter. And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, you don't need anyone to interpret to you the meaning of that prophecy, when the Bible very clearly tells you this woman is drunken with the blood of the saints, that she has concourse with kings of the world, that the seven heads are seven hills, seven mountains on which the woman sits, and that the woman which you saw is that great city which rules or reigns over the kings of the earth. There is only one city that is qualified down through the millennia of the past hundreds and hundreds of years to fulfill or to fit that description. And you know exactly which city that is. Now notice, beginning in verse 12, it tells you again exactly what you're seeing. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now the power of a king is total, absolute military power. Military, economic, and just absolute power, the power of a dictator. These have one mind, meaning one purpose, one policy, one goal, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So this is a multinational power. It is a ten-nation union where the military forces of ten viable, powerful nations are given into a supranational ten-nation combine. These shall make war with the Lamb. Now, here's what you're left with. In these three verses, verse 12, 13, and 14 of the 17th chapter of Revelation, is, in a sense, the hard little kernel, the last little amber drop in the bottle of the bottom of the bottle. I mean, the entire summarization of biblical prophecy. This is it. This is the last little summary. If you had no other verses of the entire Bible but these three, you would know the following, that there will be some kind of a strange ten-nation combine, very powerful, having one purpose and one program, extant at and just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. You will know it will be contrary to, or in other words, anti-Christ, because it will make war with the Lamb, and it says the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are the called and chosen and faithful.